have your Bibles tonight. You have your Bible tonight. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. I want us to look tonight. If you notice the outline, the two blanks in the top of the outline, be good to those that help you in the conquest. Be good to those that help you in the conquest. Tonight, I want you to notice a passage of Scripture. Look at Joshua chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, you remember the story. Joshua is wanting to know a little bit about the people that he's going to have to go fight. He's doing a scouting exposition. And he sends out two spies to go spy out the land to see some things. You'll notice, if you would, Roman number 1, Joshua sent two spies to check the challenges of the conquest. To check out the challenges of the conquest. He sent two spies to say, go see what we're up against. Go see what God's going to do through us. So you notice, A, they went to view the land. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to look at verse 14 in a minute. But notice chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land. And even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And notice, if you would, A in the outline, they went to view the land. They wanted to see the terrain of the land. Notice number 1. Joshua wanted to know the terrain of the land. Are there a lot of trees? Is there a lot of sand? Is it open? Is it valleys or in the mountains? He wanted to know the terrain of the land so he could kind of get in his mind how the battle and the conquest was going to go. And then notice number 2, he also wanted to know the trouble the people in the land could be. I want to know a little bit about the people. Are they well prepared for battle? I want to know. Are they brave? I want to know, do they believe that, are they afraid of us? I want to know if they believe they can win the victory. I want to know. I just want to know their state of mind. And you'll notice, if you would be in the outline, the king of Jericho tried to catch the two spies. So you'll notice, if you would, keep in mind the two spies go into Jerusalem, into Jericho. They're trying to see what the state is of the people in Jericho. And so they go in and people notice them. They're a little different. And somebody goes and tells the king, well, the spies look for some place to go and they see Rahab's house. They don't know anything about her. And she does this. And they come to her. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, they wouldn't know anything about who could trust or who not to trust. So Rahab had to do something to let them know, come talk to me, I'll help. They go into her house, and it was noticed, if you would, in verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. They're looking to find out what's going on. And the king, verse 3, of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are coming to thee. They knew they went into Rahab's house. And so Rahab, Roman numeral 2, Rahab the harlot, covered the two spies under her roof to protect them. Now notice, A, they sought refuge at Rahab's house. B, she helped to protect them. And C, the spies were allowed to get away and give Joshua the information he needed. Look in verse number 22. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land For even all the inhabitants of the land do faint because of us. We're going to win the victory. And that's exactly what Joshua wanted to know. Are they scared of us? And what does the land look like? Now, all of this would have been for naught. All of his seeking out what was going on around across in Jericho, unless Rahab the harlot had taken them in and protected them. So she brings them in, and she goes up there and takes their roof and raises up the thatch and puts them up there and said, lay down and covered them up. And then the men came in. She said, oh, they left. They're gone. I saw them go through the gate, close the gate earlier tonight. Oh, they did? Can we look around? Yeah, they looked around all over the place, couldn't find them. Okay, and they went running after them. Now, you know the story. She takes the two spies, notice if you would, verse 4, Joshua 2:4, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I was not when they came, where they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Notice, she's trying to cover for the men. 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan. Now notice, if you would, verse number 8. And before they were laid down, she came up and unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now you'll notice one word in there that's very peculiar. I know that the L-O-R-D, all caps, the English version of Jehovah. We've heard about your God. I know your God is going to give you the victory. It's like she's saying, I believe in your God. Notice if you would, verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Notice verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord, L-O-R-D caps, dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When you came out of Egypt, what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that you were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon, and that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She had already put her faith and trust in Jehovah as the God of gods. And that's why she began to help the two spies. Now, I want you to notice tonight, I have a very simple message. And the title is this. Be good to those that are good to you during the conquest. Every one of us, we have things that we have in our life, goals and dreams. And aspirations and things that God wants us to do. But along the way, you don't do it, I don't do it, we don't do it all by ourselves. God puts people in our path that help us along the way. And that's exactly what God does to Rahab the harlot. Now I want you to know this. God doesn't look at somebody and say, well, I only want to use great people. Rahab the harlot. Now I want you to notice something about her. God forgives. And God uses people even if they have a bad history. God can use you even if you got saved, you struggled for a long time, did a lot of terrible things, and then got your heart right and said, Lord, I want to serve you. It's as though God says, okay, I'll put that in the past. Let's walk together. I want you to see if you have your Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Now, don't get me wrong. Anytime we sin, we limit service many times. God's looking for clean people. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, He'll use any of us if we'll turn toward Him and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I'm sorry for the past. Forgive me. I want to do what's right. Notice, if you would, verse number 5. And Salmon begat Boaz, and here's the word, of Rachel. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And Jesus Christ, if you follow this lineage all the way through, you'll find verse number 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born of Jesus, who was called Christ. You'll find in Luke chapter 2, the lineage, Rahab is still in the lineage of Mary. So understand, God is willing to use us and use us in places you and I would have no earthly idea. Rahab was a harlot, got saved, changed her life. Ruth was a Moabitess and chose to say, I want to serve your God. Entreat me not to leave thee, but your God should be my God. And so I'm just trying to encourage everybody in this room tonight that understand this, that none of us are perfect. And so all of us have things in the past that we could say, well, I wish that hadn't happened. But God is looking for people like a David that are clean, that want to serve the Lord. So if you started out as a young person, that's one of the reasons the youth group is so important. I want young people to get a great start and not to have bad pages in the past of their life. But if they do, it's not too late to serve the Lord. Now, if you and I say, well, I'm going to take advantage of being a Christian, I'm going to sow my wild oats and enjoy myself, then you may end up like Samson. Or may end up like some of the Old Testament men that chose to not do what's right. You could be like Saul. That was a very fine, godly young man. And head and shoulders above everybody else, he was humble. He became king. God started using him and he got lifted up with pride. Understand, God cannot use us as long as pride, arrogance, bitterness, wickedness is in our heart. We've got to turn our back on it and say, Lord, I want to serve you. And if we do that, God will use us. Rahab the harlot is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Ruth the Moabitess is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It tells me God can use any of us. But you cannot expect God to forgive us and to let us serve in great ways if we had a chance to do what's right, refused it, turned our back on it, and then said, now I want to do what's right. And we do all that on purpose. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, if we sin willfully, God punishes us. It says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. So understand tonight, no matter where you are, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, God will save you. And Rahab the harlot is a perfect example. She lived a wicked life, but she did this to the two spies and said, I believe your God is the God of gods. And they said, look, we'll take care of you. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the L-O-R-D, all caps, by Jehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Look, would you take care of my family? She doesn't really say, save me. It's almost as though she says, you know, I know my life has not been right. I put my faith and trust in God, but can you spare my family? Because I know you're coming in and you're going to take over this city. So notice, if you would, verse 14, a great line. You might want to remember it. The men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this, our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Be good to those that are good to you along the way of conquest. All of us in this room have had people good to us. We ought to be good back to them. I'm going to give you some illustrations in a minute of scriptural people that had a battle and God blessed them. But God used people along the way and they were good to them. And all I want you to understand tonight, you know, we're getting close to building our new buildings. And I cannot tell you the number of people in different areas that have helped us along the way. That without them, we would not be able to have a new church home. that without them would not have the great wide open opportunity and open door that one of these days in a few weeks we might be able to have. And all I want you to understand is that our church is no different than each one of us. God uses us and puts us in a position of blessing, but He uses other people to help us along the way. He uses a teacher, a school teacher, in the third grade, the sixth grade, the ninth grade, to make a difference in your life. How many of you remember a teacher that made a difference in your life? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Look at these hands all over. Understand, many a time we take advantage of that, we don't look back. Tonight's message is about let's do for that person what the children of Israel did for Rahab the harlot. They remembered her. They were kind to her. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. The men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear." Notice verse 18. "Behold, when we came into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." Verse 19, "It shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. If thou utter this our business, then we shall be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According to your words, so let it be." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And that scarlet red line in the window, that rope, has been a symbol throughout the ages of the grace of God, of a saving grace of people that don't deserve it. And so you and I may see that scarlet line. That's the blood of Christ. It's representative of the blood of Christ. All of us, when God says, "I see the blood, I'll pass over you," that's where Passover came from. When I see the blood. So if you're on your way to heaven tonight, it's because Jesus Christ sees you and then sees the scarlet line and says, "The blood of Christ, I'll pass over you." And tonight, you and I have to look at this passage and realize that God can use anybody if we put our faith and trust in Him and have the heart of David, that a heart after God's own will. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 3. Israel chose to remember Rahab because of her goodness to the two spies. They chose to remember. Remember? They chose. It's a choice that you have to remember people that have been good to you. So tonight I want to urge you to maybe write a note to someone that's been good to you. Maybe do something special for somebody that's been good to you. I told you, when I was in school, I remembered watching my dad drive off. And I remember watching my mom cry her tears into the iron as she was ironing, into the clothes she was ironing. And apologizing and apologizing and apologizing. And I remember how hard it was to go off to college and to leave her. I knew her heart was broken. And so when I was at school, I remember in library while I was studying. I go to the library every night. I go to Missions Prayer Band at 6:30. Pray for some missionaries for about a half an hour. And then go into the library and take all my books and get a table and set them all out and study for about 3 hours. But before I get started, I'd take about 10 minutes. And there was a book of poems in the library. And I went and got that book about your mother. And I got some construction paper. I'm very creative. I got some construction paper. Purple, blue. And I went and got some silver ink. And I began to write with that silver ink on purple construction paper. And then I got some gold ink. And I'm just, you know, trying to tell mom, thank you. and wrote it down and sent it in there, put it in an envelope, sent it off. And I did that I don't know how many times. And then I got busy. You know, school was going and ball was going on and I was working and I went home. Christmas time. And I walked into the house and I saw in frames each one of those cards. I said, "Mom." She said, "I'm so thankful, son." I said, "Ah." And I think there were four or five on the walls. Why didn't I do that more? Because I saw what it meant to her. To put them in frames. I said, "Mom, my handwriting is terrible. You can find better pictures than that." All I'm trying to say to you is that there's so many times I look back and I say, "I wished I'd have done this. I wished I'd have done that." The spies, understand, they come to the city of Jericho. Can you imagine what it was like when they looked across the river and said, "They'll never get to us because the river's flooded"? And can you imagine when they saw all of a sudden the river stack up, the children of Israel come right over on dry ground right in front of their city? I'm sure their hearts just sank. And then they started walking around the city, the whole group of Israel. Nobody said a word. Each day for 6 days. Oh, what are they doing? What are they doing? I'm sure they were just driven crazy. And each day they rode by, they walked by, they saw that silver, that beautiful scarlet rope hanging out that window. We're going to be good to her. 6 times. And on the 7th day. Okay. We're going to walk around the city 7 times. Remember the scarlet line. Do not touch that house. Now let me tell you something amazing about it. The Bible doesn't say it. But we have to think a little bit. Her house is on the wall. What does the Bible say happened? The wall fell flat. So the only thing I can think of is that the wall fell flat all the way around that city except for this section where the scarlet line's hanging down. It's almost like God said, "I'm not going to let you miss the scarlet line because I'm going to keep the whole thing there for you." So they're walking around on that 7th trip. He says, "Shout!" And they do, and the wall falls down flat except for her house. That scarlet line is there. It's almost like it's a reminder. Don't forget to be good to those people that were good to you. A doctor, I've told you. You know, and I'm not good at this. The Lord knows my heart. I'm not good at remembering and saying thank you to people. I want to do a lot better at that. But I remember when that drunk driver hit my neck, the disc blew out, and I was in the most agonizing pain for 17 days. And then I went in and had that surgery, and the pain was gone. The next day, I was pushing my walker out the door, and I began to think, neck and the neck brace began to think, "I don't hurt. I'm not hurting. Am I on pain medication?" You know, I couldn't even think. "Nope. I don't know how to hurt." Doc came in and said, "How you feeling?" "Well, I'm not hurting." He said, "I told you." So regularly, I'd call Dr. Richard Geyer. That was 36 years ago. I'd say, "Doc." Every time I'd call the office, they'd say, "May I help you? I'd like to talk to Dr. Geyer. I'm sorry, he's not available." "Ma'am, 15 years ago, he did surgery on my neck and I was ruined. And I don't hurt anymore to this day, I just wanted to take a minute and say thank you. You know what she'd do? Would you hold just a minute, Mr. Pittman? Hello? It's Dr. Geyer. Everybody wants to hear thank you. So, 30 years, I picked up the phone, called, same treatment. Now he's big dog, got a whole wing of the hospital on his section. He's got his whole own big four-story, three-story building right next to it. It's called the Texas Back Institute. People come from all over the world to get their treatments there and their surgeries there. Look, this is a pastor from D.C., but I just want to tell Dr. Geyer, thank you. Could you hold just a minute? Boop. This is Dr. Geyer. Dr. Geyer, this is Dave Pittman. You don't remember me. Oh, yeah, I do. The preacher. You know why you remember me? Because he made me sign a statement that said, if you can't talk after this surgery, you won't sue me. I looked at him and said, I'm not signing that statement. He said, I can't do the surgery then. I said, give me the pen. I was too hurting. I'd have signed off. He'd have taken my head off. I would have signed it. And so I signed that statement. And, you know, he remembers. How are you feeling, Mr. Pittman? I'm doing great. I still don't hurt. So you know what? Almost every morning I get up. I pause and I say, Lord, can I tell you thank you? I don't hurt. I don't hurt. Thank you, Lord. I wished I was better at it. But I want you to notice in the outline here, A, Roman numeral 3a, she hid them from the king and Israel chose to repay her. There are things you and I can do to repay people. B, the two spies said to place a scarlet cord out of her window so they could identify her home. It was the same scarlet rope that she let them down the escape with. See, they spared her and all her house. They were all saved. All the rest of Jericho was destroyed. Why? She was good to them. They were good to her. Didn't have to be. They chose to be. D. We should be good to those that help and protect us. One, we should be good to family members that help us. Young people, you ought to tell your parents thank you. I wish I could get the young people, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders, first graders. I wish I could get junior hires, high schoolers. I wish I could get college students to remember to say, Mom, Dad, thank you. It would mean the world to them. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll forget to be good to those that were good to us. People that went out of their way to be a blessing to us. And they didn't have to. Rahab, come here. There are a lot of people in our lives that have done that for us. But you know, we go through life and we get busy with our goals and our dreams and we forget about those people. Remember the scarlet thread. That's a reminder. Remember the people that were good to you spiritually. Notice two, we should be appreciative to coworkers that are good to us. There may be some coworkers that stood up for you when somebody said something. There may be some people that were just said, "Hey, I'll take your job for the day if you need to go. Let me do your shift for you." Just little things that you and I can remember to say thank you for. You know what it does? It lets our light shine when we're appreciative. Three, we must be good to those that help us in this life. Just general life. Four, we should be very thankful to our great God for all his benefits. Let me just take just a minute and I want you to listen to this. David had a best friend. Who was he? Jonathan. And David said, You notice in 2 Samuel, he says, I wonder if there's anybody from the house of Jonathan that I could be good to. And he said, is there anybody that of Jonathan's house that's left? And they said, he's got one son, but he's lame on his feet. Bring him in. And Mephibosheth comes trembling in. Does anybody know why? Most kings kill all competition. Jonathan was his family, his son. Mephibosheth was next in line. He had no idea the heart of David. And David said, Mephibosheth, are you Jonathan's son? Yes, sir, I am. I want you to eat at my table for the rest of your life. What? Your father was my best friend. And I want to treat you good because he treated me good. I don't know what to say. If you were to back up and think about Jabesh-Gilead, does anybody remember what happened to the people of Jabesh-Gilead? A king came in, king of the Amorites came in and said, look, surrounded them. We're going to give you 7 days and we're going to either kill all of you or you can put out your right eye of every male. They said, can we write to our king and see if he can do anything? They said, sure. They write, somehow it gets to Saul. And he takes an ox and cuts it up and throws it, sends it parts all out to Israel and says, that's going to happen to the man that doesn't help me fight for Jabez, Gilead. They go and win the victory. And Jabesh-Gilead said, oh, how do we say thank you, Saul? Does anybody know the name of the people that took the bodies of Saul and Jonathan and his eldest son off the wall? It was the men of Jabesh-Gilead that said, we've got to go take care of Saul like he took care of us. It's the least we can do. Tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you good to those people that are good to you? Or do we forget about them? I'm making a list of people that I'm going to write and ask to come to the day we open our new church. And I'm going to say, would you come, please? We want to honor you. I've got a list of their names and what they did. And I plan on standing them up in church in front of all of our church family and say, this one, she did this. She stood up for us. He did this. He helped us get this. He helped us get that. And I think they'll listen to the gospel message very quickly after that. I think anytime you and I are good to people that are good to us, when they don't have to be, it touches their heart. And folks, we're here today to touch the heart of people, to let our light shine. Are we doing that? Are you good to people that are good to you along the way? Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe the Holy Spirit's brought somebody's name to your mind. Anybody here like that? The Lord's brought a name to your mind. I mean, you hadn't thought about it in years, but the Lord brought a name to your mind. Would you raise your hand? All over the building. Heads bowed, nice close. Just raise it up. Yes, yes, yes. All over. Maybe you could talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to thank you for this, for that. I know you. The Lord's been good to you. But maybe there's somebody you could write a note to, pick up the phone and call. Let your light shine. Remember the men of Jabesh-Gilead. They went and got the body of Saul off the wall to be good to him, to show respect and honor because he protected their right eye. They never forgot. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to be good to those people that have been good to us In your name we pray. Amen.